Welcome, welcome back to Round Trip Death and part two of our conversation with Alyssa Rushton. If you haven't yet heard part one that came out earlier this week, it's episode number 455, and I'd recommend starting there. Today in part two, we're going to discuss what it's like to be, quote, slammed back into your body, guardian angels, and a whole lot more. So let's get right to it.
From the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
I want to come back to one word that you mentioned a few minutes ago. That is that you were slammed back into your body. To me, some of those kinds of correlations with other NDE stories just make them more real. That is a term I hear a lot.
Yeah.
It's usually not a just nicely came back into your body. That doesn't happen. I hear slammed probably the most. I hear things like, wait a minute, I can't fit back in that body. I am this huge part of the universe now, and you want me to fit back in that little human suit thing? And so you had a lot of that feeling too, it looks like.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know what it's like? Have you ever bought a bed in the box, one of those foam beds in the boxes?
Yeah, and when you open that up, you're never going to get it back in.
Nope, not at all. It doesn't belong in there in the first place, right? And you have to shrink wrap it so tight to even get it in there. That's exactly where this huge expansive consciousness and where it's a huge vibrational difference as well. So it's taking something really big and then lowering the frequency of it to get it back in the body. And the frequency of our density is low. We are in a low dense band, and that's how we are physical matter. Because when we're in a higher band of frequency, you start to not have matter. Everyone can get this with the ice analogy, right? Water is liquid and it can be very big, but if I solidify it, now it's an ice block. But if I heat it up, all of a sudden it's vapor. It's the same substance, it just changes form. And that's what happens with us. Our consciousness is like water here on planet Earth. It's like ice. It's dense, it's clunky, it's, you know, it's crunchy to be down here. I always call it crunchy energy. It's not an easy journey. It's a master path and it's a third grade path, right? All at once. We're learning, we're trying to master ourselves and we're learning mastery lessons, but also like we're still very juvenile in many ways and not emotionally intelligent. And so we're learning all that, but it's very icy down here, very crunchy ice. But on the other side, you're vapor. You know, you can go anywhere. Your little particles can go anywhere. So, and I think people can just get that analogy, but it is so different being in a body here.
Absolutely. And even science can prove that. The speed of the molecules when it forms in ice, they slow way, way, way down. That's the frequency you're talking about. Get to water, they've sped up. Get to vapor, they've sped up. I don't know what's beyond that, but there's probably a whole nother level of that. Love it. How long did it take the EMTs to get to you? How long do you think you were gone from your body?
It's a great question. The only thing I can tell you is I lived in the country. And so the fastest medical team probably would have taken about 15 minutes to get to me once the phone call was made. And I don't know how long I was out by the time Bradford found me, long enough for me to be in pretty bad state.
So I'm going to say at least 20 minutes, and it could have been quite a bit longer.
It could have been.
And most doctors would say, you don't have oxygen to your brain for 6 minutes, you're going to have all this permanent damage.
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that?
Well, you know, when I came back, the following day, so after I had been resuscitated, after, you know, I was given a second dose of Narcan in the ambulance because the first dose wasn't cutting it. So I passed again in the ambulance. When I woke up in the hospital and then the very next day, I actually did think, oh boy, I have brain damage, because I was hearing a voice on repeat that was not my own. And I didn't learn until years later whose voice it was. It was a man, and I heard his voice and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the guy that was telling me this phrase on repeat. So the next day, you know, I was still so sick. The next day I was back infusing, because I would go and infuse the PICC line and do the whole protocol for 6 hours a day, the whole chemotherapy protocol. So the next day after my near death, they had me right back at it. And I remember sitting in the chair and this man was saying, I'm getting better and better every day in every way. And it just was on repeat, 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 repeat. I couldn't stop it. And I literally thought, oh God, I really might have some brain damage. And then I learned years later, it was Emile Coué, the father of affirmations. I heard the voice and that was who was in my head singing me this song. I'm getting better and better every day in every way. But I did. I thought I had brain damage. I was all of a sudden had all of these gifts that came online. I had, you know, clear salience and clear gustance and all of these clear audience and clairvoyance that I didn't have before. And all of a sudden I had these things and my husband thought I was crazy, except for the fact that I could prove it. And I had enough of that come through to where, you know, one example was we were backing out of the driveway. I still couldn't drive. And we had a very long country road driveway. And we were just backing out. And I said, you have to be careful, honey. There's a handicapped driver that's going to come. And he's going to come exactly at the same time you're backing out. And you're not going to see him when we're going to hit. And he's like, woman, what are you talking about? You can't even...
You're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy. And though he was a smart man and slowed down. And so as he was coming out of the driveway and slowed down, he saw this driver and he looked and he made a note and he's like, how did you know the handicap plates? And I said, I could just see it happening. And so we had enough of those moments where he was like, well, I don't necessarily believe in this stuff, but I can see that it's happening.
Do you mind if I ask right now, and I will edit this out if you're uncomfortable with it, what happened to your marriage? Because a lot of marriages break up after an NDE.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking. I'm actually, you're welcome to leave this here. We did divorce. And I do want to go on record and say that we had a great love. We were together for 20 years. And though what happens, at least what happened to me, is I, in that near-death experience, broke into a million pieces, a billion, a trillion pieces. I broke into the universe. And I came back together and I realized my life was broken. I realized that everything I was trying to do to heal myself was not working for me. In fact, it was killing me. And then I had to go about putting myself back together. And when I put myself back together, you know, I was kintsugi-ing myself. In Japanese, there's the art of kintsugi, where we take the broken vase and we put the gold and we make something beautiful out of it. And so I was in the process of kintsugi-ing myself and I came out a different shape. My vase was no longer the shape that my husband fell in love with. At one point in time, I mean, I was a smoker and a drinker and an overeater and, you know, not wanting to be healthy. And he didn't break into a million pieces and he wanted to still do those things. And I didn't. You know, he was happy to watch TV and I couldn't sit in front of the box anymore. I literally could not consume TV. I couldn't stand the smell of alcohol. I couldn't stand the smell of cigarettes. I just, those things about me really changed, and I had to stop doing those things. Now, it didn't happen for me overnight, but it did happen. And so our marriage didn't end overnight, but it did end. But, you know, it ended with as much love as we had for each other. And I tell you, I wouldn't have made it through that time without him. He's an incredible human being, and I'm super grateful for him. But I do understand why marriages break up, because it's such an expansion. And then you have to reconfigure your life in every possible way. There was no part of my life that was left untouched. I literally had to reconfigure everything about myself. And I look different. You know, I physically look different. My eyes are a more clear, different color. My face shape's a little different. You know, I have so many different parts about me that is really curious. But I understand that's because of the process of kintsugi.
Most marriages that do break up after an NDE, it happens pretty quick, within a year or two. So that's interesting that yours took more time, but very, unfortunately, very common, because you do come back a very different person in so many ways. Yeah. And your husband was, you're not who he married. Even if you're a better version of that, still a different person. I get it. And not just the clairvoyant stuff, right? You weren't just the crazy, don't back out into the road.
Right. But you say, unfortunately, but really what I learned on the other side is we have a funky notion here about a lot of things. As humans, we've been having these programs like, oh, you need to stay with this person forever because you signed a piece of paper that said you would. When we actually come in with soul contracts and soul agreements, and we complete those soul agreements, we complete our lessons with somebody. And so it's really not unfortunate, because in our case, I mean, he went on to get remarried. He always wanted to have a couple kids, and now he does. Like, now he's learning other things and getting to have these beautiful experiences, and me too. And so I think we have this idea that we're locked into certain things, but really we're here for growth and expansion and to learn lessons and the fundamental lessons of unconditional love, forgiveness, understanding that we really are all connected and being able to hold the consciousness of that. Those are the lessons that we have to learn here, or else we don't get to go on to other destinations. We get to keep coming back here again and again and again and again and again until we learn those key basic lessons, because on the other side, you instantly manifest, you instantly create. And so on the other side, if you're thinking bad thoughts about people, well, guess what? You accidentally create a whole bunch of not awesome stuff very quickly. So here we're learning to manage our emotions and balance ourselves and not maybe miscreate. And time space is a little more generous with us, so that we can understand that I have a fear thought, and it's a few weeks before that fear thought comes in. It's more gentle for us, because on the other side, you have a fear thought and you instantly create the fear thought.
Hey, everybody, very quick break here. Just wanted to mention something at this time of year, and that is that Will and I, hey, we work hard on this thing. We appreciate all the good feedback that you send us, and we'd appreciate something else this time of year, and that is we do accept donations to help us pull off this show. It helps to pay for the hosting and other services like that that we need to take care of. So if you're interested in making a donation, and no guilt or anything if you're not, but if you are, please go to roundtripdeath.com. Up in the top right, there's a little donate button. You can click on that, make a donation over Venmo or the Cash App, and we would appreciate it so very much. All right, now back to Alyssa. Tell me a little bit about your healing process, your physical healing after you came back. You had a long ways to go.
I had a long ways to go, and people always remark at the weight first because I lost about 120 pounds and I've kept it off. But it was more than that. I was so sick and diseased on the inside, and I literally threw everything I had at it. I hired every healer that I could. I had a beautiful nutrition and health coach. Her name was Shelley Murray. And I saw this sparkle and dazzle in her eyes. And I thought, whatever she's doing, I want that. And I'm going to do anything she tells me to do. And she talked to me about my food. And I didn't realize that what I put in my vehicle had any effect on my vehicle, which is silly because, you know, if you put sugar water in your gas tank of your car, you know that's not going to work out well. But I was putting sugar water in the gas tank of my car. So I had to change all that. And I started juicing and I started drinking smoothies and detoxing my liver. And I also enrolled myself into an outpatient mental health program because I was depressed. When I came back, I literally was dissociated with my identity. And I had, you know, on the other side, I was not Alyssa anymore. And I came back and I didn't even, when they woke me up on the toilet, I didn't even know my name. I had no idea what my name was. And so I felt very depressed and I had to go and do the mental health work of healing the trauma and all of the embedded trauma programs that are in our physical bodies from myself that I had experienced here in this now time, but my parents and my parents' parents and their parents. And I just went in and started using some of the tools that I learned. I learned on the other side that there are certain frequencies that if you listen to can help put your body into a state of repair and reprogramming. And so I literally at the time would just, I couldn't really walk. You know, I had the walker to get around, but walking was not a thing for me. So I literally would lay in bed. And there was a meditation I highly recommend. Her name's Kelly Howell. And it's called Healing. A healing meditation. And I would just listen to her healing meditation with these frequencies in it. And I would envision myself as being able to walk and being happy in my life. And that was all I could do at the time. And just trying to eat better and, you know, that sort of thing. And then pretty soon, it wasn't long before I had enough strength and energy to get out with my walker and do a lap around my house and then get out from my driveway and maybe go down a couple houses. So it was a gradual evolution of just adding, building, healing. And it took me about 5 years. I was on 28 different medications, including a large amount of end of life pain medications that they only give you because it's so addictive. They know they'll never get you off of it. And so I got myself off of that myself. I didn't go to a drug rehabilitation clinic. I just did the inner work. And the reason why somebody has that much pain is at the end of the day, an emotional issue. It's easier for the body to feel physical pain than it is for the body to feel emotional pain for most people. And so that pain expresses itself through the body. And so I was drug seeking, in fact, and I wanted the drugs to numb the pain. So I then had to go and do the work to feel my feelings, to deal with the pain and the trauma so that it could express and run through and not stagnate in my body. And once I started doing that, I then started backing off the drugs. And it took me about 5 years to get off everything, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. They're super addictive. Okay, just a couple more questions that I'm going to let you go. You mentioned angels a few minutes ago. Tell me about what you know about angels.
Oh, well, I have had profound experiences with my angels in my lifetime and still do. Angels believe in your free will, and angels will not come in typically unless there's a life or death situation. They have to be invited in, and they are wonderful beings. And I encourage everybody to talk to your angels, invite them to work on your behalf. we have a whole host of other energies and frequencies and light beings, angels being one of them, ascended masters and other races like Pleiadians and others that are here to help you. It's just that they're high level beings and they will not break your free will. So they're not going to come and show up and talk to you unless you say, angels, I could really use some help. In fact, here's something that I do that just works like magic. Every day I say, angels, please go before me and pave the way for my day with magic, miracles, and safety at every step of the way. And I tell you, I do this, and it is, it's magic, it's miracles, it's safety at every step of the way. I love to do this when I'm traveling, and you'll feel their presence, especially when you invite them in, because what you're doing in that moment is you're lifting your consciousness. And they can then come and support you. But again, they will not break your free will. Only in times of life or death will they come in. And it's usually your guardian angel that will come in and swoop in and rescue and be like, you're not dying today.
Do you feel like you know who they are?
In my case, absolutely I do.
Okay. And I'm talking about like specifically, like this is, you know, great grandma Sue or something, or is it just, I have this wonderful angel. I don't know anything more about him, her, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a great question and it varies for everybody. First of all, I think that great grandma Sue's probably not angel status. If you're interfacing with great grandma Sue, you're interfacing with her astral realm energy. That said, you know, for me, Archangel Michael is who's always come to rescue me in my time of need. And I didn't even know who that was when I first interacted with Archangel Michael. But I very much the first interaction, I was like, oh my God, that was Archangel Michael. And I just knew it. And that was when I was 14. I think that some people may know the names of their angels. Some may not. If you don't know, you can always ask. You can always say, who is this energy? Tell me who you are. And they will tell you. And I will also say, if you're dealing with the astral realms, and if you're not certain of how to discern energies in the astral realm, anyone can tell you they're anything. So one of the things I teach in our academy is to always ask when you're talking to your angels to say, I'm asking to speak to my highest, most light-filled angel and light team. And so your intention is what connects you to that. And so that intention acts like a safety bubble around you versus, I'd like to talk to spirits or I'd like to talk to angels. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get. So really setting your intention. I love to talk to my highest, most light-filled angel. And then feeling that frequency raise in yourself by getting into gratitude so that they can come and meet you. And you can have a conversation. You can have a dialogue. They can be there to support you. You can say, angels, like, help me with my finances, or angels, help me with my relationships. They're there for you always. And they're 24/7. You know, they can work while you're not working. So I encourage people to always call on your angels, because otherwise, you know, it's an untapped resource.
How much fear of death do you have?
This is an interesting question. Interestingly enough, at the first, when I came back, none at all. And now I realize how precious this lifetime is. It is such a gift to be here on planet Earth. It's such a gift to get to come back and experience the beauty and the emotions and the physicality of it. So I notice now I have some, not the death itself, but like, I don't want to leave. It feels so precious and it feels so important, especially at this pivotal time we're having on the planet. We are literally in a massive consciousness shift. We are in a massive evolution. And it is, I believe, the reason why many of us chose to come back here at this time, and to even come here at this time to play a role or to be a witness in this beautiful shift in human consciousness. I really value it. And I would be lying if I said, oh, I don't have any fear, because I really love being here. And it's such a blessing. And many people don't know that.
I appreciate the honesty. I'm going to give you the very last word here. And that is, for somebody who isn't feeling that, who is, life is too rough, right? What advice do you have, or how can you lift them today?
Oh, I love this question. Thank you, Eric. Well, the first thing is, I've been right there myself, where life is too rough and it feels all too much, and I feel like I just don't want to be here anymore. And I think when we're feeling that way, that's a great indication that it's time to get some help, you know, outside of ourselves, and to help us lift and do something different. That's your soul's way of saying, we can get it back on course, but we have to do things differently. And so, in terms of specific advice, you know, maybe it's finding a spiritual mentor. Maybe it's like me, I started with that nutrition person who I just started shifting the molecules in my physical body and feeding myself a little different. I started doing different activities. I spent less time in front of the TV and more time reading books that lifted me up. Earth is a difficult place, but we can and do have the ability to shift it. And I think when we know that within us is the power to create heaven on earth or hell on earth, but the power lies within you, and the power lies knowing that you can shift any circumstance. There's nothing special about me whatsoever. So literally, if I can come back from the dead and heal my physical body, you can too. No matter what you're dealing with, you have the power within you. And I'd even go so far to say is that God is you, and you are God. You have this ability to tap into energy that is stronger than anything you've ever been taught. And mostly it's just about having some support to tap into that and really recognize that you can change your life. And I want to leave you with this. You know how waves work? So if the wave is really big, it also goes very low, right? It's physics. What comes up must go down. What goes down must go up. So if you're in the down, what I want you to remember is the potential for your up is huge. Your suck moment in life can absolutely be the rocket fuel for your best life. And I'm here to tell you that only you have the power to use it.
Alyssa, I've thoroughly enjoyed this hour. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Eric, thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't already, hit that follow or subscribe button. Now is a great time to do it. And if you want to help us continue to put out this kind of quality content, head on over to roundtripdeath.com. Look for that itty bitty donate button in the upper right hand corner. You know what to do from there. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for our email newsletter, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes go live. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next. Thank you.